under the love affairs of Radha and Krishna. It was that was coming through him. But when he had a friendly, loving relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the bhava of Arjuna that came through.
So there were two souls? Arjuna's soul and...
So do all the associates come in all the incarnations? Or there are some associations?
Not all associates, but many prime associates come in all. Many of the incarnations, just like it is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Kashyapa, Aditi, Krishni, and Sutapa, that they were again to come as Devaki and Vasudeva, right? Many of these great personalities appear, depending on the particular incarnation.
In some cases, it's
just like when Lord Narasimhadeva appeared, it doesn't mention how Subal or Stoka Krishna or Mother Yashoda. But in various incarnations, according to the particular lila, he brings his eternal associates to join him. It's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so many of Krishna's wonderful eternal associates descended from Goloka to Gorgona. Dushtapika explains many of their origins in Goloka Vrindavan. In this sense, sometimes when the Acharyas explain, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes they're speaking literally. That particular Atma has appeared in that form. Sometimes the bhava of that Atma is manifesting through that form. In other words, the qualities of the devotion of that particular Atma are manifesting through that personality.
They also have expansions, these liberations. They have their expansions.
By Krishna's will, they can expand.
Since Krishna's leelas are going on in different universes, the different Arjunas...
It's like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. There's only one Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. No Jivatma can become Yashoda and Nanda. But simultaneously, they are expanding factually in every universe. They're expanding so many different... Describes that whenever Krishna has one lila, in some other universe he's having another lila. The same... All lilas are always going on. And there can only be one Yashoda. So yes, these... And yet at the same time they remain eternally in Goloka Vrindavan. They never leave. So Krishna then conceived. And therefore these jivatmas, by Krishna's desire, he can cause them to expand according to his satisfaction. But of course many of these souls like Nanda and Yashoda, they are not jivatmas. They are expansions of Krishna himself. They are expansions of Radharani. Mother Yashoda is an expansion of Radharani. Ananda Maharaj is an expansion of Balaram. So they could, they are of that tattva that they could expand according to Krishna's desire. And also Subhas, Toka Krishna, the eight Gopals, the eight Sakis, they are not Jiva. They are expansions of either Raja. The Sakis are expansions of Radharani, the Sakas are expansions of Balaram. So they can expand according to Krishna's heart's content.
Yes, as one goes to higher rasas, he cannot go to Madhurya ras or Vatsalya ras because Vatsalya ras, Nanda Maharaj's position is fixed.
Vatsalya ras, any innumerable entities can enter it. But they become the assistants of Nanda and Yashoda in Vatsalya ras. They cannot become Nanda and Yashoda. It's like you can become a cowherd boy, you cannot become Balaram. You cannot become one of the eight sakas, but you can become in the same bhava of that lila as a cowherd boy, but as their assistants. So in Vatsalya ras, all the innumerable jivatmas that enter into the pure love of Vatsalya ras, they are all directly or indirectly the assistants of Nanda and Yashoda.
Krishna
and Arjuna. Krishna and Arjuna. So Krishna is Arjuna is a living entity. How do you know? Yes. Arjuna is described here as a jivatma. Nara Narayan Rishi, it explains in Bhagavatam, that they are Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's also manifesting in that relationship as an eternal associate in that same incarnation.
You see,
it's described in the Puranas because it's there's a story behind why Krishna and Arjuna appeared as Nara and Narayan Rishi. Because previously, there was a demon of the name Sahasra Kavacha. And he was a terrible demon. And he was conquering the world. So the demigods, they prayed to the Lord to kill him. So Nara Narayan Rishis appeared, right? Nara Narayan Rishi appeared and they performed tapasya. And they performed tapasya for many reasons. One, for the purification of the world, most essentially just to establish the highest degree of the opulence of tapasya for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And another reason, to gain their lila, the power to kill this demon. So this demon had 1,000 shields and they defeated him 999 times, and he had one left. And then what he did is this demon took shelter of the sun god, and he went to the sun, took shelter of sun god Vivishwan. So they didn't finish him off, Nara Narayan Rishi. So then in his next birth he became the son of the sun god as Karna, and he had that last kavacha on him. So they had already vowed that they would kill him. So Nara Narayan Rishi returned as Krishna and Arjuna, especially to kill Karna, this Sahasra Kavacha Asura. And it was Krishna and Arjuna together, if you remember, that finally killed Karna. So in this sense also, it is said that Nara Narayan Rishi is Krishna and Arjuna. together they defeated him 9,999 times, and then Krishna and Arjuna together killed him for the last time. So from this point we can understand that Naranarayan Rishi is simultaneously Vishnu Tattva and Shaktivesh Tattva. As Arjuna, he's a Shaktivesh avatar. He's both combined. He's a Shaktivesh avatar and also a Vilas avatar. Good question.
We have this expansions of sometimes Vayu, Indra and all that form of different participate in the past tense of the Lord. They are not above the material world and still in the material world, but still.
By Krishna's arrangement, a jiva can expand himself. What is your question?
So we hear of Brahma's expansion or Vayu's expansion in form of either some empowered incarnation or in the pastimes of the Lord. This is the expansion of Vayudeva, Varun and all. They are in the material world, they are not the eternal associates. How do they expand?
You mean like Vayu,
yeah,
coming as Madhvacharya or Bhima?
Yeah.
Hanuman. Huh? You see, this particular demigods like Vayu, although Vayu is a post, in every universe is a post, and the Jivatma can attain that post. But the particular Vayu that we're speaking of, you know, in one sense we say that Hanuman is an incarnation of Vayu. But in another sense we can understand that Vayu is an incarnation of Hanuman, because Hanuman is eternally existing in Vaikuntha, is he not? And Vayu is only a temporary post in this world. Just like Krishna is an incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, although Krishna is actually eternally existing, but still he incarnates through Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. So similarly, we can understand that this very, very special, great personality that has taken the position of Vayu is actually an eternal associate of the Lord from the spiritual world, who's taking that post in this material world, and he's expanding himself, reincarnating himself through that form in so many wonderful features like Madhva, Bhima, Hanuman. Huh? He's not simply a demigod. Physically, his post is a demigod, but the particular soul of that demigod is an eternal associate of the Lord from the spiritual world, who's simply temporarily coming to take that role as Vayu. Otherwise, such a person as Hanuman or Madhva, who are eternal associates, they could not just incarnate from some jiva. Obviously, that jiva who is Vayu is of that tattva, or of that caliber of devotion, has come down. Huh? Does that answer your question?
Maharaj, Lord, when he incarnates in different universes, he remembers all his activities from different universes. Even in the same way, isn't that like living entities like Arjun, he also incarnates in different universes. He remembers his activities where he is performing different universes. Like Arjuna also, he along with Lord Krishna, he appears in different universes. But Krishna knows his all activities in all different universes. And also what Arjuna also knows about his activities in different universes. He knows it.
Arjuna? He only knows what Krishna wants him to know. He is,
Nitya Nitya Nam Chaitanya Chaitanya Namaiko Bahunam Yogadidati Kama. Krishna explains right here that because he's a Jivatma, he cannot remember everything. Unless Krishna wants him to remember. Krishna, everyone is completely subordinate to Krishna, even for their remembrance. Krishna is the supreme, achuta, infallible. And the Jivatma, even though being a totally liberated soul, still, without the grace of God, does not know. Krishna doesn't need the grace of anyone. Krishna is the divine grace, which is the source of everything. But a Jivatma, without the divine intervention of Krishna, cannot remember. Constantly subordinate and dependent on Krishna for everything. That is the difference between the Paramatma and the Jivatma. Hmm? Arjuna could not remember his being there with Krishna in Vivasana because he's a Jivatma. But by the grace of Krishna, he's telling him, so now he's remembering, he's reviving his memory. Hmm? So the Jivatma is always subordinate and dependent on Krishna. That is his eternal relationship. He can never become God. That is the point that we must understand.
But in some cases we have the bhava of two personalities appearing in one body. But in some cases, somebody says this person is this, and somebody says this person may be that. Like, I don't know which. Jiva Goswami, I think maybe Bruno Manjuri or some other name. So why is that two different personalities are given? He may be this or he may be that. So that means the two acharyas, they have analyzed from their own point of view.
In the Gaur Gauna Deshtapika it says Swarup Damodar is Vishaka and Ramananda Rai is Lalita. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says the opposite. So we must understand that these technical differences in the analysis of various liberated acharyas, we just must accept that they both say like this. We cannot really understand which one. It is beyond our capacity. If they say it may be this or this, we must simply accept it may be this or this. Huh? Because you see these great personalities, the authors who have given their analysis. They're liberated souls and they're completely in tune with the spiritual world. They're getting their dictations from Krishna, from Sri Radharani, to write. But you see, these are expansions of the Shakti Tattva. Lalita, Vishaka, the Manjaris are not ordinary living entities. Huh? They have very, very special us pretty high. And therefore, depending on the particular services that those particular living entities do, they manifest the qualities. In essence, there's really no difference between Lalita and Vishaka. Who is Lalita and Vishaka? They're both simply Radharani expanding herself to do different services. Right? In fact, Lalita and Vishaka is none other than Sri Radharani, who's just expanding herself in different forms to do different services for different loving relationships, right? So sometimes they are manifesting the types of service and the types of qualities of one, and sometimes the types of qualities and services of the other. And the great acharyas, they recognize these. And therefore, one acharya, according to his particular ras, he may see a Nanga Mandri coming through Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Another acharya may really perceive the bhav and the love and the devotion and the presence of Guna Mandri coming through Gopal Bhatta Goswami. They're both correct. because in the spiritual sense, Ananga Manjari can enter into that body to offer her seva anytime. And Guna Manjari can enter into that at any time. It's not such incredibly liberated personalities are not under the limitations of us. They're simply instruments. The body of those particular persons are simply instruments for the Lord's ras, for the Lord's loving relationships. Do you understand? So these great acharyas, they are, according to their relationships with in Goloka Vrindavan, they are perceiving the presence, the love, and the seva of this particular person. And therefore when Prabhupada says, he never says one is right or one is wrong. He says sometimes this, sometimes that, it is said. He accepts both. For him, it's not a confusion. For him, it's not a... there's no contradiction. Because he understands in the spiritual realm, all things are possible. Especially in such eternally nitya-siddha liberated souls. What to speak of not just liberated souls, but the most munificent expansions of Sri Radha and Krishna. Because it is also said that Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, you cannot become Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, but your soul can enter into the body of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and in their own body assist them in that bhava. Where you can actually assist Yashoda Mai within her own heart by doing the seva for Krishna. And enjoy that loving relationship, but still remain separate. So how Krishna facilitates his associates in on the eternal platform to enjoy ras with him is he's a chuta. He's a chintya. He's unlimited. He can do anything. He can facilitate in any way the enjoyment of loving exchange. And therefore devotees, when Prabhupada says he may be this, some people say Ananga Manjari, some people say, actually Ananga Manjari is also Nityananda and Janavi Devi. So in other words, the great acharyas, their analysis is not limited to quantitative restrictions like we are in this world. They understand the infinite, infallible power of God to do anything he wants and make any facility or any arrangement to increase the love of his deity.
In this connection, what is the,
how
would you explain the position of Lord Shiva?
In Brahma Samhita, it explains that he is actually Vishnu Tattva. He's actually Narayan, but an expansion, a partial expansion. In the spiritual world, also it explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and in the Chaitanya Bhagavad also that Advaitacharya, it describes that he's Mahavishnu, but it also describes that he's Lord Shiva. Because really Lord Shiva is an expansion of Mahavishnu. In the original spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, one of the expansions of Shankarshan, of the Chaturvyuha, is Sadashiva. Sadashiva is Narayan. He's a Narayan avatar. And the Lord Shiva of this world is an expansion of that Sadashiva of the spiritual world. But because the Lord Shiva of this world is immersed in in the activities of destruction and tamaguna. Generally, we find it is people who are grossly materialistic that worship him in that form, Rudra. But actually, there is branches of Shivites who worship Shiva as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if they were to worship him for unalloyed devotion, we could not say that there's anything wrong with that. Because Shiva is actually an expansion of Narayan, just like so many other incarnations are expansions of Narayan. But in this world, generally we find people are worshipping Lord Shiva, either for liberation or for material qualities. Therefore, they're worshipping him in his post as a demigod. They're not worshipping him in his essence, but they're worshipping him in his post as a demigod. They do not understand his essence. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he worshipped Lord Shiva on many occasions. In fact, there's a story of how there was a devotee of Lord Shiva that came to Navadvip, and he was playing, and he was chanting the names of Shiva, and he was very, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so ecstatic to hear his devotee chanting his names as Shankar that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became Lord Shiva and started playing his din-din drum and just becoming ecstatic, and he granted his supreme blessings upon that devotee by giving him the darshan of his form of Shiva. He didn't say, why are you worshipping a demigod? He actually became Shankar, because he was worshipping Shiva in his essence, in pure love.
Unlike Brahma, it's not a post. The same
no one can become Lord Shiva. A Jivatma can become Brahma. In fact, most Brahmas are Jivatmas. But it describes if there is no Jivatma qualified to perform his work, Vishnu himself incarnates into Brahma. Sometimes Brahma is Vishnu Tattva. But Shiva is always Shiva Tattva. Shiva Tattva means Vishnu Tattva, but not in the capacity as Vishnu, in a different capacity, a different work. But the essence is an expansion of Vishnu. The essence of that personality is an expansion of Vishnu. But the post that he's taking as Shiva is a different post than Vishnu takes. So therefore he's different. Brahma can be either one, although usually he's Jivatma. But no Jivatma can become Shiva. Devamrit, any comments you have?
Still Shiva comes through Brahma when it comes to material creation. When just like Krishna comes through Kshira Diksha Vishnu, like that Shiva comes through.
Yes. So that is Leela. Similarly, Krishna comes through Devaki. and Vamanadev came through Kashyapa. And Lord Chaitanya came through Sakshimata and Jagannath Mishra. And Lakshmi Devi came through the journey of the ocean. Into this world, right? So how the Lord appears is very inconceivable.
Krishna, he respects the feelings of his devotees so much that he preserves that feeling he has. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for example, he preached to the parents of Gopal Bhatta Goswami to change their worship from Aishwarya Bhav to Gata. But in some cases he keeps it intact.
Yes. It depends on the person's bhava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy to see Venkata Bhatt and his Prabodhananda and Tirumala Bhatt. He was in ecstasy to see their love and devotion for Lakshmi Narayana. He was very pleased. He was so happy. That's why he stayed with them for 4 months. But at the very end, he converted them to the higher platform of Radha Krishna worship. So that was simply his desire. But for Murari Gupta, Anupam, he was so satisfied with their worship of Ram. It was simply his own will that he wanted to keep them in that rasa. These are just really just the variegatedness of the will of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To manifest different exalted qualities in his devotees. He converted Venkata Bhat to show that the sweetness and the supremeness of Krishna's Leela is far beyond all other incarnations. But he established that type of faith in Murari Gupta's heart just to show how a devotee is so faithful and so chaste to the Lord of his life. Mm-hmm. So they are both different exalted qualities that Mahaprabhu wanted to manifest in his different devotees. But at the same time, Murari Gupta is such a special personality. Here he is with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is exhibiting, they're constantly talking about Radha Krishna everywhere, all the associates, and he's exhibiting the Leela of Radha and Krishna everywhere. But throughout all this, Murari Gupta was just seeing Sitaram. He was hearing the names of Radha and Krishna, and he was seeing the Leela of Mahaprabhu manifesting his form of Krishna to Kulavecha Sridhar, to Advaita Acharya, and so many. And the whole time he's seeing Radha and Krishna, and he loves Radha and Krishna. But why he loves Radha and Krishna? Because every time he sees them, it's simply increasing his love for Sitaram. This is bhava, and this is the bhava that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants him to have. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is as much Sitaram as Radha and Krishna. He's the full manifestation of Sitaram as well as Radha and Krishna. He's the Swayam avatar. He's the avatari, the source of all avatar. So every incarnation, Mahaprabhu wasn't full. He also revealed his form of Varahadev to Murari Gupta. He revealed his form of Shiva to the Shivite. He was the full source of all incarnation. Because Radha Krishna is the full source of all incarnations. Sitaram is fully included within Radha and Krishna. Everything is fully included within Radha. They are all partial expansions of Radha and Krishna, all other avatars. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so merciful that he was allowing the variegatedness of all these different devotees to see the essence of their Lord in him. He was the ultimate interface, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Synthesized everything, even for the followers of Islam. Chand Kazi and the Muslim washerman of Srivas Acharya and all of these others, they were able to identify the goal and the supreme essence of Islam in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, he was the embodiment of the perfection of every true spiritual aspiration. And he was revealing himself through all of them in various ways. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his darshan to Chandkazi. Chandkazi became a perfectly realized Muslim by the darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He experienced the essence and the perfection of Allah in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Huh? And consequently, he accepted Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was nothing but Krishna himself. The source of all the aspects of God. Cause of all causes. Even Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava mata sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything, even in the spiritual realms. Krishna. What to speak of material. But how much do they remember? They may remember one or two things. But they are not all pervading. They cannot remember the entire history of their soul. Can they? They may, by some special karma, they may be able to remember a few incidences of a few lives. But can they remember from the time the soul entered into this material stratum and everything they've ever done, everything they've ever said, everything they've ever thought? Huh? Those same persons you're talking about, they cannot even remember what they did a few weeks ago. Correct? You ask them, they cannot remember. What did you do at 5:07 in the morning 2.5 years ago? Huh? You ask Krishna, he can tell you. He can tell you what you did. He could tell you what every living entity did at 5:07 in the morning. That is the difference between the jivatma and Krishna. That is just a special karma that they have, that they can recall some things, a few things. Also, Jadbharat also remembered. He remembered his previous two lives. Huh? But he could not remember beyond that. He accepted himself. He still disguised himself as a outcast. Because even though he could remember a couple lives in the past, he still knew how fallible he was. And he wanted to protect his devotion to Krishna. But Krishna is a chuti, he is infallible. Any other questions?
Great.
He is very great. That is why Prabhupada used to tell us a lot that in so many religions they say God is great. But the Srimad Bhagavatam tells in the greatest detail just how great God is. Huh? Not only just as the creator and destroyer of this world, but what is His greatness beyond this world. Huh? Scriptures, no other scripture tells these things. We find in the Quran, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, we find how incredibly great God is in this world. But there's no details of how great He is beyond this world. And this world, His greatness is not even direct. Through partial expansions of expansions. Huh? He has no real lila in this world. His lila is in the spiritual realm. Right? So the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us a vision of the greatness of his lila beyond this world. like in the Old Testament, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, take my people out of slavery. God gave him a staff. And Pharaoh said, no, I will not take your people out of slavery. We need you as slaves. You're the best slaves we ever had. He said, then all the water in your kingdom will become blood. And then all of a sudden, every well, the whole Nile River, the lakes, everything became blood. Huh? And Pharaoh said, all right, I will let them go, I will let them go. Then everything became water again. Then just when they were about to leave, he said, no, I changed my mind. I cannot let them go. People who are not, they change their mind a lot. They have no stability of conviction. So then he created, all of a sudden, locusts, frogs. Billions of frogs were everywhere. The people in their houses, there were millions of frogs, and everywhere it was just covered with frogs. People couldn't tolerate frogs jumping on them day and night. Finally he says, all right, you go. And all the frogs went away, and we're about to go. He said, no, you cannot go. So by the power of God, all these incredible plagues were taking place. And then ultimately they opened the Red Sea. Right. He finally let them go after the eldest son of every family in Egypt died, except the Jews. Right? Then he said, it's too much. Plus they were getting boils. They had the plague. They all had boils all over their bodies. So then he just said, all right, you take them and go. And actually he let them go. But when they got to the bank of the, after they left for some way and they came to the Red Sea, he again changed his mind and sent his troops after them, right? And the Red Sea opened, and the Jews, by the power of God, they went across like a path. And when they got to the other side, all of Pharaoh's army came running after them, and then the sea went and killed them all. Huh? So we think, my God, the greatness and the power and the miracle of God, how he is doing these things. And Jesus, how he was curing blind people, and he was curing lame people, and he was raising people from dead. It was the power of God within him, huh? And Elijah, the power of God, and sometimes God directly, Sodom and Gomorrah, God directly, he said, these people are so sinful, they will not give up sinful activities. I will shower fire and brimstone upon them. And all of a sudden, fire and brimstone started pouring from the sky, totally destroyed these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, completely devastated. And when people of this scripture read these stories, they say, this is God, this is the power and glory of God. But it's all his power within this world of birth and death. Huh? But what is the greatness of God beyond this world? His eternal lila, beyond birth and death. Huh? The Srimad Bhagavatam reveals that. For how great of God, there's some glimpse which is beyond all other scriptures. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through Srila Rupa Goswami, is revealing to us the proper method by which we can enter into those divine leelas of Goloka. Therefore, we are simply keeping our heads always at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and his divine associates and messengers of this world. Did he watch? Yes?
Lord Krishna is incarnating throughout his incarnations. And in Lord Chaitanya also is saying that Namnamakari Bhauta Nijya Sarvashakti. He is incarnating, he is manifesting himself in his holy name. So he is manifesting in his holy name. How to serve?
How to serve?
Trinadabhisunichena. That's the next verse, is it not? Nam namu kari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tatrapita niyamita smaranena kala. Etadrishita vakritva bhagavan mamapi duradaiva mitri samihajani nanu lagaha. And in the next verse he tells us how to serve the holy name. It's not an accident that they come right after the other. To be more humble than grass, more tolerant than tree, to offer all respect to others, and to expect none in return. In this way you can chant the name of God constantly. To constantly chant the name of God in this spirit of being humble servant of the servant is the only method by which we can properly worship the holy name, Avatar. Nam Avatar. Huh? Everything the spiritual master is teaching us to do is the process of serving the holy name.